Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
Blue 20! Blue 20!
It's Intentional Grounding, Chicago's best Bears breakdown and analysis.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
Now, they are WGN Radio's very own Adam Hoge and the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
All right, welcome in to Intentional Grounding, episode 55. We're coming to you from Lucas Oil Stadium, where the Bears lose again. This one 29-23 to the Indianapolis Colts. Adam Hoge, Adam Johns here with you. The Lance Briggs episode, number 55.
You don't want to go with the injured and beleaguered Jarronis Grissou?
Some people are giving up on Grissou already. I think that's stupid. You can never have enough depth on your offensive line. We'll see how he bounces back next year. Next year is something we might be talking about more and more, as the Bears are now 1-4. In the NFL season, not a good loss today in Indianapolis. A game they certainly could have won, a game I think they felt like they could win when you heard some of the comments after the game. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod, at INT Grounding Pod. If you're not following there, you should be. Read our post-game columns and work at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com and find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Adam, what is your biggest takeaway from the Bears' loss today?
All right, let me give you a number just to begin with. There is a huge difference between 2-3 and 1-4 in the NFL. According to, well, it's a league stat. If you're 2-3, you have a 21.3% chance to make the playoffs. It's dating back to 1990 using those teams. You go 1-4, it's 6.3% chance. Now, I know the Bears were a long shot to begin with. Even if they go 2-3, you still have the Packers and the Vikings, but this is a game they should have won. Let's just leave it at that. They outplayed Andrew Luck, even though he looked great at times. They got to him a lot. They stopped the run. They produced 522 yards of offense. They only found the end zone twice. They should have won this game, Adam.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with this game and my biggest takeaway and what I just wrote about on WGNRadio.com/Bears. You can read my postgame column there. 522 yards of offense. You should score more than 23 points. And, you know, you can give me all the stats on Brian Hoyer that you want. I think it's a different offensive attack with Jay Cutler in the game, in those moments where you're in the red zone. I think you take more shots at the end zone. You take more chances. That's where having a guy with a stronger arm who was willing to take those chances and the offensive coordinator who's equipped with that quarterback to call those plays, it's just a different attack. Now, does that also mean sometimes there might be an end zone interception? Sure. Absolutely. And so Brian Hoyer is the safer option. There's no question about it. The stats over his career prove that versus Jay Cutler, albeit a smaller sample size. You're seeing it unfold here in the last three games, which, again, Brian Hoyer has played very, very well. 120 passer rating again today, second straight game. But I think there were times in this game, including on the 4th-and-8 right at the end of the game, where you need a quarterback who's going to take more chances. And Jay's that guy.
It doesn't even involve chances and that last play, that 4th-and-8. He would have looked at Alshon Jeffrey just because he's Alshon Jeffrey. You watch the replay of that, what Hoyer was looking at. They give you a nice replay in the broadcast. He only looks right. Alshon Jeffrey, who he thought would be doubled, was not doubled whatsoever. Jay Cutler, for all his faults, will, in that situation, will at least look at Alshon Jeffrey, a star receiver, his best target, his best receiver in that situation. You know what? The protection was good for Brian Hoyer. I think he got a little hectic in the pocket, a little frazzled for whatever reason. Maybe it's the situation. But he only looked at Eddie Royal and Cam Meredith, threw behind Meredith, while Alshon Jeffrey beats Vontae Davis by a few steps. and is wide open. At the very least, Jay Cutler gives Alshon Jeffrey a look on that play.
We'll let you hear from Brian Hoyer in a moment and let you hear what he had to say about that and what he saw. But before we do that, kind of just summing up what he said, Alshon said that he saw two-man coverage as well, which is what Brian Hoyer, I think, saw too. That basically means the corner's got underneath coverage and the safety has over the top. The safety was shading a little bit to that side at the alignment. Brian Hoyer, I think, thought that the safety was going to be double-teaming, and he said himself, and you'll hear this in a moment, he said, I thought for sure that they would double-team Alshon Jeffrey in that situation. So essentially what Brian Hoyer did was eliminate his first read before the snap. That's what happened. He only looked right. He only looked at his other reads who weren't open. And unfortunately, he read the play wrong before the snap. And the guy who was open was Alshon Jeffrey. Now, that's amazing to me that the Colts let that happen, but they get away with it. And I think in that situation, we've seen many times where Jay probably forces a ball into double, even if it had been double coverage, which it wasn't. He forces a ball in that situation into double coverage, trying to let his guy make a play. And I think at a minimum, double coverage, single coverage, whatever, he probably throws the ball in Alshon's direction. And given what the Colts showed there, and hey, maybe they show different coverage with Jay in the game, I don't know. I think the outcome of that play could have been a lot different.
You know what else is disappointing about this, too, is that this seemed like the Jordan Howard. Look, he had his breakout game last week, but this seemed like him cementing his name. You know, he scores that go-ahead touchdown. Then the Bears' defense completely breaks down in their coverage. Jacoby Glenn gets beaten really bad by T.Y. Hilton. I thought for sure I would be writing about Jordan Howard at that point until T.Y. Hilton scores that touchdown. But here, let's hear from Brian Hoyer and what he said.
Well, real quick before we do that, though, on that point, how did Jordan Howard only have 16 carries in this game? I mean, I think you got to take a look at the offensive play calling in this game as well. And the discrepancy between only 17 rushes by your running backs. And what did Hoyer finish with? 49 passing attempts? Now, a lot of that was in the last two series when the Bears lost the lead. That being said, there was still a moment that I tweeted out in the fourth quarter when it was 14 rushes and 29 passes, which at that point the game wasn't in doubt. The Bears were losing, but they weren't playing catch-up. It wasn't like they were forced to throw the football. And that is just a ratio that isn't acceptable when you have a running back who's averaging 7 yards per carry.
I have to disagree with you, my podcast colleague. They still put up 522 yards of offense. And you look at some of those play calls. There was a lot of play action that worked immensely, especially in the second half going into the third quarter, going from the third to the fourth quarter, especially when Alshon Jeffrey got reestablished. So, yes, I get your point. Maybe you should have had 20 carries, 25 carries, whatever. They're running the ball that well. But it still set up Brian Hoyer to be a better quarterback because of the play fakes.
All right, fair enough. I just think if you're looking for explosive plays in the fourth quarter, it was obvious that one guy, Jordan Howard, was providing those. And I think he needed more carries in this football game when you look at it. All right, let's hear from Brian Hoyer and what he had to say. The second question is actually about the 4th and 8. The first question is about early in that same series when the Colts were kind of showing a bunch of confusion on defense and ended up calling timeout. Here's Brian Hoyer.
Before the Colts set the timeout with about a minute 50 left, you had Howard lined up in the flat out with nobody on him. Did you notice that, or did you call an audible?
Sorry, I'm not remembering. Was that when they called timeout?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get the ball snapped, and you see them running around, and then they called timeout. So it really, you know, they were messed up, and you would try to like to get it off, but you can't do anything about when they call timeout. You got to make sure everyone's set. I mean, there's no use of trying to snap the ball if not everyone's set. So it's something, you know, I was anticipating it, but they called timeout. Yeah, when you see the picture, I mean, they disguise the coverage and really, you know, you're just trying to go through the progression. Obviously, a play that you'd like to have back. I'm sure I'll watch it tomorrow and really, you know, look that one over and hopefully learn from it.
A lot of good things happened today on offense for you.
does the fact that you didn't win negate that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you play the game to win, so it's disappointing. I mean, to lose it that close, you know, go up late and then have one more shot at it at the end, you'd really like to finish it off and follow through. So it's as disappointing as they come when you're that close. Yeah, we gotta really try to take care of those. Just stop trying to hurt ourselves. I think, you know, in football, physical penalties, that's gonna happen. You know, you try to eliminate the mental ones, and really just try not to, like I said, you know, shoot yourself in the foot.
Going forward, how encouraged by the play of some of the young guys, Jordan Howard and Cam Meredith?
Yeah, those guys are playing well. I mean, they're getting their opportunities and they're taking advantage of them. So, you know, those are two guys who, you know, it's excited to, you know, watch them play. And now we gotta just take that next step and win these games.
As far as your own play, what's clicking for you right now? That's why you feel so right.
I think, you know, we have a talented group. The O-line is really coming together. I don't think I got sacked today. I mean, however many pass attempts, no sacks, receivers getting open, running the ball. I mean, there's everything to, you know, be excited about. But like I said, it doesn't matter. You know, close doesn't count. So we got to find a way to finish it. Really, I think we'll look at the tape and kind of, you know, be regretful that we didn't score touchdowns instead of field goals in the first half when it came to the red area.
How much did the Colts pay attention to Alshon in terms of doubling him?
They did a little bit, and really, to be honest, on that last play, I thought there was no way they wouldn't do it, and so, you know, I saw the safety wide, and I think, you know, like we said, we'll watch the film and see how he played it, but, you know, they did a good job of trying to take him away, which, you know, led to some other guys having big days, but also Alshon had some big catches too, so.
Can you compare this three-game stretch of efficiency that you're on right now with others in your career in terms of how good it is and how good it feels?
I mean, it doesn't feel good because we're not winning, you know. I mean, last week obviously it felt good to win the game. I'm just trying to go out there and execute the game plan. You know, Dow and the offensive staff are coming up with some good things and just try to go out there and execute, really. I think, like I said, it really doesn't matter if you're not winning the games.
What do you say to Cam Meredith in a situation like that? Great game going there.
Sure. I mean, I came right up to him. I said, look, you're going to get another chance. And sure enough, the next drive, the first play goes to him. So that's football. I mean, you know, physical stuff like that is going to happen. You know, you just try to build him up. You don't want him to go in the tank. And I don't think he did. Everybody came up, said, look, we're going to get the ball back another time. And you're going to get another chance. And sure enough, you know, the first play, he comes up with a big catch, gets out of bounds, gets us going. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be excited about Cam and his, you know, role as it goes on. You know, him stepping up. He's a very talented kid. And I know how much he cares about it. So I know much it hurts him to have that play, but we've all been there before. You just got to move on and realize, you know, you got to play the next play. All right, thank you.
All right, so there is the Bears quarterback, Brian Hoyer, who makes his third straight start here, 1-2 in his three games. A, do you think Cutler is close to coming back? And B, because this has really kind of gotten out of hand, I think, with not out of hand. I mean, the Bears have created this situation where there's legitimate doubt about who's going to be the quarterback. Maybe they like it that way. But who do you think is the quarterback when Jay is healthy?
Well, I think Jay Cutler wins this game. Let me just say that. Jay Cutler beats the Indianapolis Colts. I think he would have had 522 yards himself. I mean, that's how bad the Colts are. Look, I may be overrating Jay Cutler, but he can be efficient. He can protect the ball. He did that last year. Look, I know he's prone to these ill-timed turnovers, but he's still a better quarterback than Brian Hoyer. Look, Jay Cutler had that cast, or not that brace, back on his right hand. He did not have that when we saw him during the practices at Hallis Hall. At times at Hallis Hall, he had a ball in his hand. He did not have that here at Lucas Oil Field. So that's...
I don't think he had that the last couple games either.
Either way, it's back on. It's late in this process. Maybe they're just being safer than sorry, but I took it as that's not encouraging. You don't want that brace back on because if he would be healthy if it wasn't on, right? So I don't know how close he is to returning. Look, I was told from the get-go this could be a four-week injury. I think we're just surpassing that timeline right now, but this is a thumb. This isn't like Danny Trevathan, the linebacker. For a quarterback, the thumb is everything. He's got to be able to grip the football and throw it, and we haven't seen Jay Cutler do that in weeks.
That's a fair point. Maybe he's not as close as it was looking, but it's obvious that the Bears like Brian Hoyer, and he. I mean, there's lots to like here in the last 3 weeks, but you're 1-4, And with the safer game plans, and this, I mean, what's the end game here? I mean, you're still not winning football games.
It doesn't make any difference right now if Cutler returns or not. I mean, this season is lost. They're 1-4. I get they're going to be competitive. I get they're going to show some fight. You want to watch Jordan Howard run well in all these things. But, look, you want to be in the playoffs. You want to be so much better than what is going on right now. And it really makes no difference, to me at least, whether Hoyer or Cutler is in. They can both move the football. I think Cutler, again, gives you a little bit more of an edge, especially in games like this. But the Bears are 1-4. It's all about developing young players, some of them who didn't even play in this game. So I don't know what there is to look forward to, maybe then other than Jordan Howard's success.
All right, let's break it down here.
Player of the game.
T.Y. Hilton. He was, especially when Bryce Callahan went out, kind of unstoppable. I don't know why the Bears didn't shadow him with maybe Bryce Callahan or Tracy Porter. He kind of moves all over the place. They did not shadow him at all. Cravon LeBlanc was a mismatch there. Jacoby Glenn, as we saw, was a mismatch there. So, look, the Colts are not a good team. They cannot protect Andrew Luck. That is an embarrassing effort. That was an embarrassing effort by their offensive line, and it's been embarrassing for a while now at what they're doing to Andrew Luck. It's just people should be fired for what's happening to Andrew Luck. But I'm getting away from this. T.Y. Hilton made the biggest play of the game because it turned out to be the game-winning play. And he was pretty much uncoverable for a lot of this game.
Yeah, 10 catches on just 11 targets. And, you know, there's some other guys you can consider here. Andrew Luck, of course, made the plays, found the holes, picked apart the Bears' zone defense at times. He also missed some guys, though, at times. I thought the Bears were lucky that this wasn't out of hand, actually, at halftime, because he missed a couple guys wide open in the first half that could have been touchdowns, and they were settling for field goals. Heck, you could give Adam Vinatieri the player of the game today. What were his field goal numbers? Do you have those in front of you? I think he had 4. Usually right here. 5 field goals for Adam Vinatieri, 54, 53, 26, 41, and 46. Connor Barth did not do that.
Now, some people called Adam Vinatieri a national treasure. I'm not so sure about that. But, look, just in terms of what he can deliver as opposed to Connor Barth, look, he missed a 51-yarder. And then, what was it, 54 that went to a 49-yarder, yes. Right? So, and he missed both of them either way. I know that's not his strong suit, but you see what you get when you have such a better kicker. When you can march him out there for 55 yards and have confidence that he can make it. And look, I know Fox is going to show confidence to Connor Barth, but I think the Bears need to bring in some guys to work out. They just need to at least see what's out there, because Connor Barth has not been consistent. And this isn't just a Soldier Field issue anymore. This was a game that was, I guess, relatively indoors here at Lucas Oil Stadium, but with the windows and the roof open.
All right, well, that's a good segue then.
Biggest concern.
I don't know if Connor Barth is necessarily the biggest concern on this entire roster right now, but it seems like the Bears have kind of taken a small problem and created a big problem. Because on the list of issues the Bears had coming out of training camp, I think Robbie Gould was on that list somewhere, but I don't think he was anywhere near the top. And now you're looking at the situation where you can't trust Connor Barth to make any kind of field goal over 40. And that's an issue. I mean, there's no question looking at him, Gould had more leg, clearly was more reliable from deep, even if he was missing some shorter kicks. And I agree with you. I think they got to bring somebody in. First of all, John Fox's answer, because I asked Fox after the game if they were going to look at kickers this week, and his answer was very confusing to me. I mean, he's basically like, well, he only missed one field goal, it was 50-plus. Well, first of all, it wasn't, and he missed two, because he had two shots at it, and the last one was a 49-yarder. You get a second chance, basically the same kick, but 5 yards closer. You should make it, and you're in the NFL. You should make the kick. And them justifying it by saying, well, the deep kicks aren't his strength. That's not a good enough reason.
I said it from the get-go when people were talking about releasing Robbie Gould even before they did it, right? It was a situation where, you know, be careful for what you wish for, because you don't know how good you have it. And look, I get why the Bears did it. He didn't look good in the preseason. He looked awful in training camp. But you thought at least you could be confident that this veteran kicker who is so good at Soldier Field could work through it. I know Jeff Rogers had confidence in that situation, or at least he said so publicly. I think they wanted to beat Gould's demise or his downturn to the punch. And I understand those. I understand that reasoning, but it has not been good from just an optics standpoint. I mean, Connor Barth has struggled immensely. I know Robbie Gould's still a free agent out there. I know he just worked out for the Cowboys. They didn't sign him because their kicker got healthy. But this doesn't look good by any means for the Bears.
Do you have any other concerns?
What's up with all these penalties? You know, I agree with what Brian Hoyer said, where he said sometimes this is a physical game and sometimes things just happen. But Logan Paulson, I mean, for a guy who is valued for his blocking, you know, he had a bad one on Jordan Howard's touchdown. Even before that play, he looked a little out of sorts, looking for the call, looking to see where he was supposed to be. And I get he's only been here for a few weeks. He actually had kind of a tough game. He missed that big special teams tackle during a punt return. So the penalties in just the Bears, it's the timing of them, you know, like the first drive. Things are going so well. Then here comes the penalties and things like that. So they just seem to happen at the wrong time for the Bears.
All right, moving on. Biggest answer. To me, it's just that if they're going to have any chance in games like when they play the Packers in what is really almost a little over a week from now, and that game's sneaking up because it's going to be a Thursday right after so that's a short week after you play Jacksonville, or then when they play the Vikings, which, by the way, are 5-0 now on Monday Night Football in a few weeks, another possibility of getting embarrassed on your home field on national television, to even have a chance in those games, they have to be completely perfect. And you just brought up the penalties. We're talking about missed field goals. We're talking about misreads on huge plays in the fourth quarter. We haven't even mentioned Cam Meredith's fumble, which was a huge play late in this game. What a great kind of coming out party for him today. But to have that fumble in that moment and the Colts tack on three extra points, that was huge because the Bears were once again in field goal range. Well, maybe, depending on if you trust Connor Barth to make the field goal. I mean, these are all things that are depictive of a team that's far from perfect. And we've seen crazier things in games against the Packers and Vikings before, but it's going to be really hard to have any chance in those football games.
Look, I get that mistakes happen. No one's going to play. It's a cliche to play a full 60 minutes, right? I mean, that's such a cliche. Clichés like that exist in all sports, right? It just doesn't happen, right? Human nature and the other teams trying their best to all these things come into play. But you're right. Their margin for error is so small. I mean, they can't, from the penalties to the Alshon Jeffrey situation, there's just so many of things where the Bears, you would think, would be able to take advantage of certain things, and they just don't. So, look, that's a good point. And, look, they're 1-4. They are who they are.
That's a good way to put it. 1-4. You are what your record says, and I think there are positives here and there that you can pick out, some talent that's developing here, but it's not going to result in a winning record this season. That's for sure. That's for sure. All right. We'll be back Thursday. We'll maybe be dealing with a Cubs NLDS Game 5, or I think they're going to sweep. I think they're going to take care of this against Bumgarner. And, hey, there's a bright side right there. You don't have to worry about the Cubs.
This Sox fan, Adam's a diehard Sox fan. He is completely on the Cubs train. He's wearing a blue shirt. He did the post-game show. Like, he's all in, apparently.
Well, because I don't have to deal with the downside of the inevitable collapse that could come at some point. So it's easy for me to just say, hey, it's going to be perfect. And it is. Have some faith. This is the year, right? All right. This is not the year for the Chicago Bears. But we wrap up episode 55 after another loss, this one coming at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Bears now 1-4 on the season. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Follow the podcast throughout the week at INT Grounding Pod. We'll have some things up there for you throughout the week. Follow us or read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. Subscribe on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Jacksonville Jaguars await. We will preview it and the rest of the NFL and college football action on Thursday. Talk to you then.